start. The greatest chapter in the book of Daniel and the one of the greatest chapter of the entire Bible is this chapter. If somebody, anyone can choose what would be the greatest chapter about regarding the subject of prayer, that person should choose this chapter, chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. If somebody said, why don't you choose 10 most important prophecies mentioned in that particular chapter in the Bible, then this one should be listed. The reason is it has a double theme. Number one is prayer. Number two is prophecy. Number one theme, the prayer, you can find it from the verse 1 to verse 19. From verse 20 to verse 27, you can find about the prophecy, in my opinion, the backbone of all the prophecy mentioned in the Bible. Why? Because it mentioned about Jesus. Not just anything. The entering into Jerusalem. Remember the time when the Jesus was walking in, riding on a donkey in the cold? And he was riding into this Jerusalem, and the people's laying down their cloak and waving the branch of a palm tree. And they said, Hosanna, blessed is the one who is comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David, save us now. That particular dead word was prophesied long ago. 538, more than that. Going all the way back. And that was, this time it was prophesied through Prophet Daniel. So this book is extremely important. And this, especially particularly this chapter. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we're about to receive about the prayer of Daniel. Because we can learn from this godly man. Oh, how many times we think that our prayer is just mundane and stale and not going anywhere. Because often our prayer is selfish. Often our prayer has a wrong motive. But Lord, speak to our heart that our prayer may be strengthened. Our prayer might be filled with the Holy Spirit that touching the throne of God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 9, we will see the first setting of the Daniel's prayer. In the first year of the Darius, son of Ahasuerus, that is a funny name. I'm sure they thought the Juno is a funny name too. Of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Note the word desolation of Jerusalem and the 70 years by the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make a request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. From what we just have read, we can trace the date of this particular time. It goes back to the 538 BC. How do I know? Because the date of the administration of the King Darius starts from 538 BC. During the first year of his new government, the new administration, Daniel was reading what the Lord spoke to Prophet Jeremiah concerning the completion of 70 years of exile for the Jewish people. Let's go to, keep your finger right there, and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 25, please. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah is located right after Isaiah, before Ezekiel, and before Lamentation. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. Are you there yet? You getting there? Okay. And this whole land shall be a desolation and a astonishment, and this nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Who would it be, the king of Babylon? That would be the one who kidnapped a bunch of people. That would be King Nebuchadnezzar. Then it will come to pass that when the 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of Chaldean, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make it a perpetual desolation. I will bring on that land all my words that which I have pronounced against it. All that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. By the way, Babylon kingdom, what's that guy's name? Saddam Hussein, he wanted to be the king, the second, or the King Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to build the kingdom Babylon again, so he was building the same identical castle like we saw a few weeks ago. He wanted to be the Nebuchadnezzar, modern-day Nebuchadnezzar. But however, what he does not realize, the Bible prophesied that the kingdom of Babylon will never come back again. Guess what happened to Saddam Hussein? He was hiding himself in the little hole on the ground. Chapter 29, back to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Chapter 29, verse 10. For thus said the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place that would be Jerusalem. In other words, the desolation of Jerusalem will be over after 70 years. See, Daniel found the time around 605 BC. That's the time when God declared that Babylon will occupy the land of Israel and take the many people away from land of Israel to the Babylon. And Jeremiah prophesied that. And under the Babylon's rule, for 70 years of punishment happened, and that was about to be done. Why 70 years? Some of you guys know already the answer. For 490 years, Israel disobeyed God. For 490 years. And according to the law of Moses, the land was supposed to have a year of Sabbath every seventh year. Now, that's not the only reason why they disobeyed. They disobeyed God by worshiping some other gods, idolatry. And one of the things that God said, I'm going to take you out from this land, is 490 years disobedience, and every seventh year should be the Sabbath year. So God took them out, divided by 490 years, divided by 7 years, it will be 70 years. God took them out from the land of Israel, for that land get to have a 70 years of rest. And God is serious. When he says, do this way, we better do it. Otherwise, he will make it happen. And somehow we think, we are silly enough to think that, wow, I can do it against God. Uh-huh. So let's do simple math. 605 BC and backtrack. Now the 538 BC is the first year of the administration of the King Darius. How many years passed by? 67 years. How many years left before the 70th year comes to the end? 3 years left. So, in other words, Prophet Daniel is literally seeing the end of this exile, 7 years. So he's got excited, and this drove him to his knees and praising God and praying to God for what he's going to do, and for his own name's sake. Let me ask you this thing. Why do you think God allowed Daniel to include his prayer to the Lord right in the middle of the great prophecies? We studied the chapter 7 prophecies, chapter 8 prophecy, and now chapter 9, we're going to see the backbone of prophecy in chapter 10, 11, 12. There is Gog, Magog, all these things happening. Right in the middle of it, there is about study of the prayer. Folks, while we study prophecy, as I said before, prophecy is not to fulfill somebody's curiosity to know who God is and what kind of holy life we should live on this earth. Prophecy is not to fulfill, and let me repeat one more time, prophecy is not to fulfill somebody's curiosity. Yes, I mentioned about one particular individual's name and who can be possibly Antichrist last week. And you guys, some of you guys got excited and got on Google and check out about him. All right, that's good. But spend more time knowing Jesus Christ than Antichrist. While we study about the prophecies, it should inspire us to study about who God is and praise Him and admire Him and obey Him with our holy lives. At the same time, that should require us to reporting for the duty and making ourselves available for His service. We all learned that what God promised, guess what He does? He get it done. Then, if that's the case, why Daniel is passionately praying about God fulfilling the 70 years exile and then returning these people back to Israel? What's the purpose of that? Because this is God's promise invites a prayer and a participation in our lives. That means that nothing can be better for us than to ask God what He already promised. That means that we can participate in God's promise. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Some of you guys remember that I quote this verse prior to it. It's a great verse to memorize. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. First John chapter 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, note that please, according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petition that we have asked of Him. You know how the faith movement teacher says, well, ask Him, then it will be given to you. But what they leave behind is according to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, we have confidence in Him that it will be done. Affirmative. Even in God's eternal decree, the human agency is required. What do I mean? God used Jeremiah to prophesy 70 years of exile, correct? God used Daniel to pray for that exile to end and people to come back. And God used heathen, pagan king, King Cyrus, to allow the people to come back to the land of Israel. God still used people. And why not you and me? Because we study the prophecy and we can be used by God to fulfill that prophecy. What can be better than being used by God? And then when we enter into that kingdom and He tells us, good and faithful servant. Just like Daniel will get excited about the deliverance by God from the bondage to bondage of the foreign enemies to their own land, we should be excited. Our own deliverance. What am I talking about? It can happen anytime, folks. The rapture. It can happen even before this study is over tonight. Any of you have a problem with that? I hope you don't. I hope your life is right with God. And it can happen tomorrow morning. Or it can happen not for another 10 years. be ready, be watchful, and be occupied to do his work until that time comes. Let's continue verse 4 and chapter 9 in Daniel. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandment. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by the departing from your precept and your judgment. Neither have we heeded your servant, the prophet, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteous belongs to you, but to us shame our face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our king, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To Lord our God belong the mercy and forgiveness, and though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which we set before us by his servant, the prophet. Yes, all the Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us, against our judges, and who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven, such as never been done as what has sin has been done to Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster have come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, yet we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind, brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord God, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, made yourself a name that as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly, O Lord. According to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger, let your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins, for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem, your people are reproach to all those who around us. Now, therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ears and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. I tell you, this is a great prayer. You can just change it to Jerusalem to America and it fits right in. I'm going to ask you to underline a few words. Let's go to, verse 18, in the second part, before you, because of your, we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deed, but because of your great mercies. Note that, please. And goes on, and he said, do not delay, verse 19, do not delay for your own sake, my God. Keep that in mind as we come back on that thing. The content of this prayer has the same kind of format. Same kind of format as Jesus taught us how to pray in what? Lord's Prayer. Of course, that should be more like a disciples' prayer. This is the formation that Jesus used. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name, all of that stuff, has a formation. And he's teaching us. It's not some big magic spell. We just pull it out when the real bad time comes and you recite it and everything is hunky-dory. No, he's just teaching us how to pray to him. Start with worship and adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, all petition made known to him. We find this, it's starting with the great and awesome God. And throughout the entire prayer, that lasts about 3 to 4 minutes. And he prayed with a praise and adoration interweaved through the entire prayer. It's not just one portion, and then he just goes on with the second one of the forgiveness and thanksgiving and petition. It's interweaved. Now, I asked you on the line this things, and before we go there, then note that how the Daniel prophet described about the God's character. He said, great and awesome God. He's a holy and righteous God. In the same time, he talks about his righteousness and as a judge. He dealt with his people. He doesn't say, well, you know, some of the parents we know, or maybe we were one of them. We tell our children, don't do this. If you do this, I'm going to punish you. And what does the kid do? They do it. Just to see how good you are and with your word. So they do it, and you just crumble down, and that's funny, and let go on. Our God doesn't do that. When he says, don't do this, you're going to get punished. And we do it, guess what will happen to us? We get punished. That is a true father. It's not good for us. Not good for the children. Because the children realize that I can push him again. I can push you again. And that's why we have a monster among us. We made him. God deal with us as a holy judge. And rebellion has to come under discipline. Does it mean that we don't love them? We love them. Does it mean if our God deal with us with the discipline, does it mean that he doesn't love us? He loves us. That's why he disciplines us. Same time, God is compassionate God. And Daniel says that he will not let the people stay in their exile for long. Again, he begins his prayer with what we all should do. Recognizing greatness and the holiness of God. Sometimes we approach to God, okay, since the format of the prayer should start with the worship and adoration, so I'm going to say a few good things to distinguish God so he can give me what I want. Is that what it's supposed to be? No. Prayer is our communication with him and own to really get to know him as recognizing who he is, the character of God. Is a character God? Do we know what kind of character he has? He's a loving God. Yes. Give me some of the character of God. Faithful God. And what else? Holy God. And just God. And what else? Merciful God. So when you pray to him, make it personal. God, you are merciful God who forgives my sins. You are faithful God who love me, loving God. You love me enough to chastise me. And you're compassionate God. So you go on through that character of God and that he applied to your own life and my life. It's very simple to praise him, simple to worship him. When we look back in our own lives, what he's done for us, Do you agree? God is not the problem. We are the problem. He is the problem solver. He is the one who keeps the promise. We are the one who break the promise. Second thing I find is a confession. Confession is not something we confess to the Father. I haven't confessed for how many weeks or that kind of thing. Forgive me for my sins. And then somebody say a few Latin words nobody knows. It has nothing to do with it. Man cannot forgive another man's sin. Only Father can. With this understanding of God, it's little wonder why the Daniel asking God to forgive his sins. Note another thing here. While we're reading, the pronoun is very much different than chapter 4 we find. In chapter 4, we find King Nebuchadnezzar's pronoun. In chapter 4, everything is I, my, me, and myself. This guy's prayer was proclamation was filled with pride and self-exaltation. However, the prayer of Daniel is filled with the adoration. Everything is a we, our, and us. Instead of saying that these people, Jewish people, sin against you. Did you notice that? He didn't say, he said, our people, we sin against you. Everything is us. He's including himself. So far, throughout the entire Bible, whenever Daniel is mentioned, everything is good about him. There's not a one place that pointing out the Daniel's sin. Do you agree? Yes or no? You don't find Daniel's sin here, except what he mentioned about his own sin. Does it mean that he's a sinless person? No, absolutely not. But Bible does not include his sin. Other than Jesus Christ, he is almost like a sinless person, but he admitted that he has his own sin. And instead of saying those Jewish people who sin against you, he said, we sin against you. He is including himself. In other words, while the King Nebuchadnezzar's statement is, as I said before, filled with pride and self-exaltation, Daniel's prayer is filled with humility and confession. Third thing that I find is thanksgiving in the format. Daniel acknowledged that God keeps covenant and mercy to those who love him. He not only make a promise, God also keep the promise. He is immutable and faithful in his God of mercy. It was because of his mercy that Daniel get to see the end of the 70-year exile. Because it's mercy of God, we are included in his salvation plan. Because of mercy, we might even see the rapture. Let's go to the Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentation is right after Jeremiah. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. Let me ask you this. Which program or which event or which occasion is most least attended during the church functions? Potluck, agape feast, people packed in. Somehow food brings the people in. Sunday morning service, usually people come in. Easter, people come out of woodwork. They got to go to church at least once a year. That would be Sunday morning, Easter, or Christmas. But when it comes to prayer meeting, it's the least attended. Why? Because we don't want to pray. I was pleasantly surprised. Last month, I was gone with Karen up in Calvary Chapel of Durango to fill in for the friend, Pastor Ernest Finkelier. While I was gone, you guys had men's prayer breakfast. I heard that there was originally 24 guys signed up, 17 showed up, and I was surprised, and I was glad. For those who don't know the men's prayer breakfast, we are going to have again on first Saturday of August at my home. I know you have to drive up that faraway city, Tucson. We are trying. So, if you guys can come, that will be great. We will pray together. We will share time together. Have a fellowship together. Oh, yeah. You can do a couple, too. Verse 22 of Lamentation chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You cannot say, I ran out of the God's quota for His mercy. His mercy renews every morning. There is no limit for His mercy. When after we sin all we could and we come back to God, forgive me, God, guess what He does? He forgives. His mercy endures forever. His compassion fail not. Fourth format of the prayer is supplication. We don't have a problem with this. We are good at this. As a matter of fact, we delete all three above and we just jump right into the supplication. God, give me this, give me that. Does it work all the time? No. Why does it not work all the time? Because we ask out of God's will. We ask often in selfish motive. After acknowledging his own wrong and his fellow countrymen, Daniel filled his heart with God's promise in 70 years, and now this time he's asking God with fervency. The word supplication in Hebrew word, it means entreaties and all the pleadings. It conveys the idea of the servant is earnestly asking his master to give him the fulfilled the promise he made. Daniel acknowledged there was nothing that he and his fellow Jews could earn God's forgiveness. Remember what we asked you on the line? It's not because what they have done. It's because what God is doing. God is compassionate God. God is merciful God. Same thing. We cannot go to heaven without our good merit. Do you agree? We go to heaven because of what Jesus done on the cross. Has nothing to do with our own good deed, but by the grace of God. We should also observe Daniel's primary passion is not, again, I go back to verse 19 that I asked you on the line, for his name's sake. It's not about going back to hometown. It's not about himself. It's not about his own countrymen, but for his name's sake. Do you know what was the most concern that Daniel had? If God doesn't keep his promise, it would mar God's name. Would God do that kind of thing? No. He make a covenant. He keeps covenant. I said it before. He is not only a promise maker. He is a promise keeper. Guys are good at making a promise. And not just guys, gals too. In general, we make a promise well. Keeping promise is another thing. That's why we try very hard to start the service on time. If we cannot keep our time on time, then there's something is wrong. So that's why I don't go by the known as a Calvary Chapel time. Goes about 20 minutes, about an hour behind running time. In this church, we do everything on time. That is important. Let your yes be yes, no be no, including time. Seven things we should remember about prayer. Seven things. I'm sure there are far more, but these are the things that I wrote down. Seven things that we should remember. There is absolutely no power in the prayer itself. And some of you are saying, that's heresy. No, it's not heresy. Prayer itself does not have any power. Prayer is nothing more than desperate plea by the desperate man if there is no one who is listening. It's just hot air coming out from our mouth. But the one who will listen to our prayer because we are his children, it becomes different things. God hears our desperate prayer. According to his will, he will get it done. Power is not in the prayer itself, but power is in the one who will listen to our prayer and get the things done. Because he's Almighty God. Second thing that I'd like you to know about prayer is when we pray to the Lord, instead of trying to twist his arm as if we can, we should put instead of that, we should put ourselves in his hand. We cannot manipulate our God with our own scheme. Because our God is all-knowing God, all-powerful God. How are we going to con our God when he knows all things? How are we trying to twist his arms when he's all powerful? But don't we try? We try. If you do this, I will do this. Wow, God is so excited about that. We're going to do something for him after he does whatever we want first. Let's not act like immature children, right? Third things that I find in the, we should remember in prayer is extraordinary prayer and the fasting are not the tools to get what we want from God. Extraordinary prayer and the fasting are not the tools to get whatever we want from God. If we have extraordinary prayer and fasting, by the way, fasting should not be known to other people. That's between you and God. Don't walk around with that look. It's like, oh, I'm so hungry because I've been fasting the last 40 days. Well, keep it to yourself. Don't let us know. They should be the demonstration of radical submission and surrender to God's power and will. If you are doing a fasting, if you're having a extraordinary power, a prayer time with God, good for you. That's nothing more than submission to his will and his way. Fourth point I'd like to bring it to you is, and you're thinking, I know all of this. Good for you. Devil does not want you to know this, but the truth is that you can approach to God, to the throne of God, anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somehow we American has this concept. If I'm good, I can talk to God. If I'm not good, I lost some point, God doesn't listen to me. Does God have a point system? What's this, a Weight Watch program? You get extra point for doing good, brownie points? So you do something wrong, then God doesn't listen to you, and then stick his finger in his ears, and says, I cannot hear you. He doesn't do that. Not because of what we have done, because of what Jesus has done. Because we are his children. He listens. There is no voicemail in God's desk. There is no receptionist who will screen your prayer line. When you say Jesus, when you say God, he is all ears. Let's go to this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews, right before James. Hebrews chapter 4, right after Philemon's. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in times of need. How truthful. We can come to God anytime, anywhere, in any situation. There is no point system. Fifth, I'd like to bring to your attention is this. Prayer is a conversation with God, not a formula. It's not a word that we pray that matters. It's a condition of our heart. We don't have to make flowery words for God to hear our prayer. If that's the case, people who cannot speak, they have a problem, since they cannot make flowery words. God rather listen to our few heartfelt sentences than thousands words of flowery words with an empty heart. God rather listen to our sincere prayer with a few basic words than somebody don't care about him and pretend to be religious, pretend to be Christian. If your heart is not in it, don't pray, because it's nothing more than empty sound. We need to understand the important truth that prayer is not bending God in our way. Prayer is bending our way to Him. Prayer is not trying to make Him to be in our plan, but we jumping into His plan, changing our way according to His way. Every time we do that, our prayer gets answered in an affirmative way. Next point I'd like to bring to you is prayer will make a man cease from sin, but sin will entice man to cease from prayer. Okay? Did you get that? That is so important. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, but the sin will entice man to cease prayer. Good example, King David. During the time while he was having an adultery with Bathsheba, do you find anywhere in the Bible that he wrote a psalm? Do you find anywhere in the Bible he prayed to God? I've seen many backslidden Christians in the last 20 years of my Christian life. Some of a close friend become a backslidden Christian. During the time, I've never seen them praying to God, seeking God earnestly. During the time of a backslidden stage, they will do anything to stay far away from God. And they will stay far away from the Christian people because they don't want to be, they call, judged. And frequent phrase they say, you cannot judge me. According to chapter 6 of Book of Luke or chapter 6 of Matthew, judge not, you will not be judged. And I said, wow, read the rest of them. Folks, prayer stops when the people start to sin, because they don't want to get there. They don't want to seek God. Lastly, not leastly, at least, prayer honors God, acknowledges His being, exalts His power, adores His providence, and secures His aid. Let's go one at a time. Prayer honors God. While we pray, while we adore God, while we worship God in our prayer, we get to know Him, we naturally honor God. And while we pray and honor God, and we acknowledge who He is, righteous God, holy God, loving God, faithful God, compassionate God, merciful God, all that. And exalt His power, what He has done in our lives. Do you really miss a good old time? That time when you were puking your guts out into the toilet bowl, or snorting cocaine, or popping the marijuana, or if you haven't done that kind of thing, do you really miss that time? Probably not. And if you do, you really don't know the Christian life. Although His providence, this is hard to swallow. We love His provision, but providence is a completely different story. Providence is something can happen against our own will. But we still respect what He wants us in our life, so we get to adore His providence and secure His aid. When we do this, He answers our prayers. Because He aligns Himself with our will? No, we align ourselves with His will. God is good, but we are not. God doesn't need us. We need Him. Remember, guys, prayer is a connecting line from us to Him. This is a connecting line between Him and us. It goes both ways. Prayer is from us to Him. The Word of God is from Him to us. Let's stand up and pray.